What is evangelism? And so I'm going to start it off tonight. I'm going to give you, first of all, some definitions. But we're going to talk about God's plan. See, man's plan seldom works if it's not lined up with God's plan. So many times we get together and we say we need to do this, 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 and we forgot to look in the Word and see if that's what God wanted. See, God has a plan. God's never been without a plan. Before the foundation of the world, Christ had already been given for our sins, before everything was created. So when we look at God, He's organized. Can I use that term? That's our modern day term. God's organized. And I love organization. I cannot abide offices and places where I've worked that's unorganized because you can't find anything. Nothing goes right. Right? Well, that's the way God is. He knows exactly what He wants. Nothing catches God by surprise. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke 24. That's the verse we're going to use to begin with, Luke 24, 44. Now, you have an outline there, and you see I sort of left a few things off. But you'll be able to fill it in when we do an overhead. I'll be using a PowerPoint so you can write it in. You won't have to keep up with my words, okay? So in Luke 24, I want to read the scripture, then we're going to just jump right into God's plan of evangelism. And He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. And I want you to pay attention to verse 45. I've heard so many people talk about the disciples, they didn't really understand or believe. Well, here we find out that Jesus says, then open He their understanding that they might understand the Scripture. See, God gives us understanding. What understanding you get from the Word of God about evangelism will be that the Holy Spirit gives it to you. He may use me to help you receive it, but it's the Spirit of God that gives understanding. I can't read this book without the teaching of the Spirit. It'd be just like any other murder mystery when you read about David. But see, it's more to it than that. Amen? So He opened their understanding. And blood-bought, blood-washed, born-again children of God have their understandings open to understand the will of God. But you've got to make a choice to study it, learn it, and apply it. And He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Jesus, that He fulfilled all that the prophets had spoken, and that He is our Savior, and He lives and reigns in our heart tonight. Every believer growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ to be the witness that You have called us to be. Open our understanding as we study Your word together. Holy Spirit, have Your way in every life, in Jesus' name. Amen. God's plan. Y'all probably wondering what I'm doing. This is not a pointer. I like to do a little demonstration. I'm a builder by trade. When I was about this high, my daddy began to teach me how to build houses. But how many of you tonight would allow someone to build you a house without a plan? I didn't see any hands go up. Being a builder by trade, and that's why I brought this plan, to demonstrate. See, everything we do, we need to have a strategy, a plan. It's not just what programs I want to do, but what is God's plan? Because Pastor Greg's been preaching on Jesus building His house. So for that to work, we must know His what? plan. Now, how many? Now, some of you may be carpenters and built somewhere, but do you know what all this means? There's one shaking his head. When you look at this plan, it's got electrical, it's got what siding and all these things. And you have to learn to plan before you can build the house. So that's what my daddy did. He took me when I was, Lord help, that's a long time ago. But anyway, when I was old enough to learn, and he took the plans, and the first thing he did for me to learn to build a house was showed me how to read this plan. How do you lay the studs out and where they go, how you do the foundation, what you need to do with the concrete and put the wire and the steel in it, and how you lay out all the electrical and all the HVAC. Well, they didn't have a lot of HVAC back then, but it grew. And plumbing and all these things. That's all part of the plan. And then what he did was he demonstrated how to do it. Over my years of ministry, I have often said to leaders and anybody to listen to me, one of the things we fail to do in the church is to teach you how to. We always tell you, you ought to. You ought to do this. But do we ever really get down to the business of telling, this is how you do it according to God's plan? See, you'd be more effective when you know how to. I could build a house once I learned this, but then the third thing was the plan, he showed me how to do it. He laid the studs out. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but just keep up with me. How wide the door openings were supposed to be and how high. And then he did this. He threw the plan down on the floor. Said, I'm leaving, now do it. Got the plan. Been taught how to do it. I've been shown how to do it. Now, if I do not apply it, I never learn how to do it. Now we got application. So that's what we're going to do in the plan. We're going to learn the plan. We're going to find out who all is responsible. Oh, you mean I'm responsible? I thought that was the evangelist's job. No. Well, that's the pastor's job. No. We'll find in Scripture who's responsible with this work of ministry. There is an evangelist given in the fivefold ministry gifts. Remember that in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, where he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastor teachers. But he gave them for a purpose, and that's for the perfecting or maturing of the saints for the work of the ministry. So you have the plan, you have the demonstration, now you have the application, and we work God's plan. And guess what? It works. And we'll see that in Scripture. When you understand the plan and work it, and then at the end of the session, those sessions, we're going to talk about tools that God allows us to use to work the plan. You see, to cut a 2x4, you got to have a tool. A saw. In the old days, before I came along, they had a handsaw. And we got skill saws. Well, God gives us tools to implement and to work His plan so that He can do one thing. Build His house. Amen? Are you with me? You wouldn't want me to go build a house without this, would you? I've seen some where people attempted it. I've had to go in and try to remodel some of it, and I wondered, where in the world did this come from? See, so God has a plan, and we're going to talk about that plan. But I'm going to give you some definitions. But just before I bring them up, I want to read you something, and I want you to think about this. Heaven or hell? Your city, your choice. Today, from Maryville, Alcoa, Greenback, Blount County, Tennessee, people will go to heaven and people will go to hell. The percentage of people going to heaven and the percentage of people going to hell today is determined by how well we, the church, did our job yesterday. You ever think of it? This is a life and death ministry that we're involved in. Now, grant you, we cannot save anybody. The salvation of a soul is a God thing, period. But we are His witnesses. We are the one that takes the message to them. And we have to go and do that. The responsibility of that message is now in the trust of you and I, the church. We are the church. I hear so much about the church. Well, you're the church. If you talk about the church, you're talking about yourself. So be careful what you say about the church. Amen? Y'all, come on, agree with me. I'm going to pull it out of you before it's over with. We are, listen, I'm going to give you several things. We are the only ones with the message that guarantees eternal life. I want you to think about these things. We're the only ones with unlimited access to God the Father through Jesus Christ. We are the only ones with the power of the Holy Spirit and the authority to negate the influence of demonic strategies. We're the only ones who are able to overcome the gates of hell. We're the only ones in our cities who can do Christ's work. He's chosen you as part of His body to do His work. And His work is not church going. His work is going to the world and winning the lost at any cost. Why did Jesus come? To seek, to save the lost. We're the only ones who are exclusively responsible because we are His body, His co-workers, His ambassadors, His friends. He gave us His nature. Peter said in 2 Peter 1, we are being made partakers of His divine nature, His will, His plan, His spirit, His grace, His love, and His anointing. That's the church. How many is part of the church? Amen? Then this is what He's given to us to accomplish His work. In Philippians 4 and 13, the Apostle Paul says it very clearly, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can do this work. Once I know the plan and once I know the direction God is sending us, I can do it not in my flesh, not in my abilities, but in the power of His strength. I can do all things through Christ. Why evangelism? I'm going to make it simple. It's God's plan. I don't know how much more simple I can make it. Why do we evangelize? God's plan. God's command. And we'll get into that. I want to read you some stats. Maybe I hope it gets our attention. These were from around 2002. And I tried to find them again and couldn't find them. So I'm not good on the computer. So y'all just... I was trying to find it. But one day in the lives of USA's children, I want to read you some stats. If nothing else stirs us, this ought to stir us to get in God's plan. Every day in the USA, 2,795 teen girls get pregnant. 372 miscarry. 1,116 girls have abortions. 1,295 teen girls give birth. 27 children die from poverty. This is one day now. We're talking about a day, every day. 30 children are wounded by guns. 14 teenagers commit suicide. And that has even come down into 10, 11, 12-year-olds committing suicide in America. 135,000 children bring a gun to school in America. 7,742 teenagers become sexually active. 437 children are arrested for drinking or drunken driving. 1,512 teenagers drop out of school. 1,849 children are abused or neglected. 3,288 children run away from home. 2,556 children are born out of wedlock. 989 children see their parents divorce and now live mostly in single-family homes. in the life of our children. We're not talking about adults and all this going on there. And it doesn't, and most of these abuse cases you never hear about. This is a government stat. They look at and see what's going on and what's happening. It should break our heart to know that the enemy's strategy is to destroy the family, to destroy God's family, the work of God. So that's why evangelism. You say, well, maybe they won't listen to me. God didn't ask you to go and see whether they listen. He just wants you to do it. Christian living is just doing it by choice. I choose to serve the Lord. I choose to talk. And I'm going to start off with an example. Yesterday, there was a knock on my door. Don't you love telemarketers when they actually come to your door and want something? And two young men were standing there. They came and they began to talk and said, we want to talk to you about AT&T. We put in all this fiber and we want to know this, your internet. No, I'm not interested in all that stuff. Me and the internet get along all right with what I got. And they just kept on and kept on. And then one young man said something about, well, you can get music. Well, I just sort of threw something out to see if I could get some conversation going. I said, well, I like gospel music. You see what I'm saying now? And the young man, he's 22, he said, well, I do too. I said, oh, this is good. So it gave me opportunity to what? Witness to those two young men. Well, the youngest, when he was saved, he goes to Niles Ferry Baptist Church, and he said, I've been born again. I asked the other young man, he's 28 years old from the Dominican Republic, and he said, yeah, I've been saved. I said, but are you born again? Now, I wasn't forceful. I just talking like I'm talking to you. He said, yes. He said, but I said, where do you go to church? Invite them to Christ before you invite them to your church. And we'll get into that later. And he looked at me and he said, well, right now I've been looking and searching. I said, that's good. I said, Madison Avenue Baptist Church, you need to come. If you're looking, you come. The people are friendly. God is there. What was I doing? Witnessing. Witnessing. You say, but they were saved. So, I would not have known that had not I asked them. And they could have went away never hearing the gospel from me. Responsibility lies with every member of the body. Okay? All right. Evangelism. The word evangelize. To convert to Christianity. To preach the gospel. We evangelize to convert men to Christ. And these words you'll hear throughout the teaching. That's why I'm giving them. To convert to Christianity. You got to speak it though. You got to tell them. I'm giving you time. I'm not going to rush the first few minutes here. Evangelist. A messenger of good. The good news. A messenger of good. That's what an evangelist is. He's not necessarily the one that's in the fivefold ministry gifts that comes up and preaches for 3 or 4 days. Now, it used to be 2 weeks or 4 weeks, but 3 or 4 days, and then he goes on down the road. I have done evangelizing that way. I have preached evangelistic meetings, but my responsibility was to help the pastor mature the saints to do the work of ministry. It wasn't to go in there and boom, 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 and get everybody saved and leave and let the pastor leave him holding the bag with what you said if you didn't say the right thing. And I've heard that said, I'll evangelize and the pastor can take up the rest of it. No. We work together for this evangelism. The word imperative, you'll hear that. Imperative is a command, which means it is necessary. Urgent. And I added one more to it. It is an absolute directive. And what I'm using that for is because this is not a choose ABC. It's not an option. Biblical evangelism is not an option. Jesus didn't say, if you want to do. He said, this is what you are going to do. This is what you are to do. So it is, and it's urgent. Can you not tell me tonight? It's urgent. When we have all this that's going on, I know the adults, the class I'm teaching in the adults, we're studying in Romans 1 and studying through that. And my goodness, it's just like it is today. All the things that's going on around us, we need to stand up and declare the gospel of Jesus Christ in power. And I'm not talking about what we do here, for what you do here is not serving God. This is not when service begins. Service begins when you walk out that door. What you do here is you sing together. You give God praise together. You exhort one another together. You encourage one another. You hear the preacher preach the word. And then we pray. But when we actually serve and do the witnessing is when we go out that door and go to the world that's lost and dying without Jesus Christ with a message of hope and salvation. Amen. If all it took was what we're doing here, it would be done because we do it Sunday after Sunday. Amen. Some folks do it Sunday after Sunday. I'm not going to say everybody does, but some people do. Okay. And then we are witness. It's one who can or does aver what he has seen or heard or knows. And that word aver is to confirm, affirm with confidence, declare in a positive manner. In other words, he can present evidence of something. Not like we've seen in the last few years where you don't need any evidence. It doesn't have to, you don't have to see it. Just you can tell anything you want to tell. Now, to be a true witness, you must know the one you're witnessing about. You cannot tell about Jesus if you do not know him. Everybody agree with that? Oh, you can give information about him from what the preacher said in the pulpit or what you read in the Bible, but you can't tell him about a personal relationship if you do not know him personally. And you do not walk with him personally. A witness is one that has actually experienced or seen, has evidence that this is real. And when you talk to somebody about Jesus, it ought to be with such passion and such love and such excitement that they just know you know him. It's not somebody you know about, but you know him. Amen. So we are witnesses. I think I read that a while ago. Did I not? Where Jesus said that you're to witness to that in Luke 24. Acts 1 and 8 puts us this way. And after the power of the Spirit comes upon you, ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me, Jesus said. Not a lot of information about him, but we're telling who he is because of a personal relationship with him. What a mighty God. Now, I'm going to insert this. We was talking about this earlier. This plan I'm talking to you about was in God's heart before the foundation of the world. So it's nothing new. This isn't something new that the church come up with. I mean, this is what God planned all along. He chose you to be the evangelist. He chose you to be the witness. He chose you to be the one that takes this love and this grace and share it with others that they too might know who he is and be born into the kingdom of God and be a lively stone placed in the house of God and build it up. Because when we are placed there, we become living stones, alive, alive, alive. You'll just have to help me. Evangelism. Next slide. There you go. Evangelism. Imperative to reach men for Christ. Romans 10, 14. Some of you can quote this, I'm sure. I think we call it the Roman road. But listen to what it says. I want to read it afresh in our hearing. First, he says in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We all like to use that term, don't we? But listen to what he says. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And 99% of us underscore that preacher. So that's Pastor Greg's job. He's the preacher. A preacher is one that proclaims. He didn't have a capital P or say the preacher that stands in the pulpit, because he's called a bishop or a shepherd or an elder. He's not called a preacher in the Bible. But he proclaims the gospel. So you become a preacher when you proclaim the gospel, when you share the gospel. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Isn't it about time the world has some good news? Daily? Not once in a while, but daily? And the good news is, God loves you. Jesus died for you and rose again from the dead. He's alive forevermore. He'll forgive your sins and make you a brand new creature in Him. He's exciting to serve. Y'all forgive me, I get excited. Like Brad did this morning about that. So, imperative to reach. And Christ's command was clear, was it not? Look at Matthew 28:19. Jesus said, go and teach all nations. Go to all the nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've said. We use that term and say, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go. Imperative. They have to hear. They need somebody that cares enough to tell them in this hour. In Mark 16:15, preach the gospel to who? Every creature. I'm going to read that one for you. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now here's what happened. This is the results of doing it as God wants it done. In verse 16, he that believeth, he believes because he's heard. The Spirit has quickened and convicted in his heart. And he believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. But see, the Lord didn't give you that responsibility of saving them, just telling them. The Spirit does the work. If it was up to us, we couldn't save them. Paul said, some of you there at Corinth, you say, I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Paul, and I'm of Cephas. He said, but who is Paul? Who is Cephas? Did they die for you? No. It's Jesus. So our message is, in love, Jesus can save you from and redeem you from and reconcile you back to God. Glorious message. Good news. And we ought to tell good news, excited about it. And then we get into the other part, and these signs shall follow them that believe. See, believers ought to be doing the work of Christ in such measure that people see things happening all around. When we get through with this, I'm going to challenge, one of my challenges is going to be to fill this church up in the next 6 months. I know, well, preacher, I don't know if we can do that in Maryville. Why not? If God is all-powerful and we have the power living in us through the Holy Spirit, we endued with that ability to preach the gospel and teach it and live it, and people are converted, we can fill up the house for the glory of God. I don't care about the numbers. I could care less about the numbers. But every number that walks through that door is a soul that will spend eternity in heaven or hell, and I want to see them go to heaven. How about you? Responsibility, evangelism, go. And it's imperative. Now, have you seen anywhere where it says, if you want to? Make it an option. Already read Luke 24:47, John 17:18, in Christ's high priestly prayer. And sometimes we try to limit it to just those disciples. If they were the only ones that were going to spread this gospel, we wouldn't have it today. The world would not be hearing about Jesus. Amen? So it's to every one of us in John 17, go. He's given a command. John 17 and 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them. Every believer, God is sending back into the world, not to be a part of the world, but to witness unto Christ there in the world, to bring them the knowledge of who Jesus is. Okay? The main work of the whole church and the whole world throughout the whole age is witnessing to the salvation there is in Jesus Christ. We must be a witness to Christ, period. It's not what we do. It's not the fun we have. That's a byproduct of fellowship. Amen? We have fellowship when we eat together. We fellowship. We need to talk more about Jesus when we have our fellowships. Tell about the exciting things He's been doing in your life. Encourage people. We come together for encouragement. There's folks sitting here tonight may be discouraged. Encourage them. You don't do anything but put your hand on the shoulder and say, brother or sister, we're praying for you. We love you. I want to encourage you in the Lord. Let's work together. Let's live in the power of the Spirit to get accomplished the works and witness to the salvation there is in Jesus Christ. God's chief interest is that none perish but all come to repentance. Agreed? He didn't send His Son for a few, but whosoever. And that must be our attitude. Now, God's program. Those are just some words that you'll hear as we go along, but to stir us up. God's program for evangelism. First of all, God's method. God has a method. He has a strategy. Now, I was and there's some military people here, and I think they'll help me out if I need it, in understanding that I was a lieutenant in the Guard when I trained, and what we were taught was that we had to have a strategy to defeat the enemy. Right? You just don't go out and say, and randomly try to win a victory. You have to know, first of all, your enemy. Who's your enemy? Flesh and blood is not your enemy. As a Christian, it's a spiritual warfare. So I'm going to bring it to the spiritual. You must know your enemy so that you can know God's strategy to defeat that enemy. Can I bring you good news? He's already defeated. He's already defeated. He has one weapon against you or anybody else. Anybody tell me what that weapon is? Come on, Kimmy. One weapon that Satan uses all the time. Started in the garden with it. Hadn't stopped. Lying. He's the father of lies. When he tells you, well, you can't do that, that means you can. He's a liar and the father of lies. He only can deceive. He can't make you do anything. I've heard people say, the devil made me do it. No. The devil cannot make you sin, period. Not a blood-bought, blood-washed, born-again child of God. He has no right on your territory. So you must know the enemy's tactics. And when you begin to understand them, then you develop a plan, and then you go to war. Am I right, military people? But you don't do that until you know your enemy and know what you can do and know your plan. So this is what we're trying to develop is God's plan, not ours, but God's, so that we can be effective in our warfare. You say, but if the battles of the war is already won, why do we need to fight? Because there are skirmishes still going on. Satan's still trying to destroy souls. Amen? Even though he knows he's defeated. For when Jesus rose from the dead, it said that he destroyed him that had the power, that is the devil, so that he could deliver all those who were inferior all their lifetime and subject to bondage, deliver them. So the power is there for deliverance, and we need to tell it by getting out and telling people this great news. So the method is Matthew 28:19, go ye. Go ye. Evangelism is a going work. Can anybody here tonight show me anywhere in the scripture where Jesus said, sinner, come get the gospel? Can you? It's not there, is it? But I can show you the plan of God is, and the method that he chose is for, go ye into the world and preach the gospel. So we have to have a method of doing it, and that is go. Yes, we need to get out of our easy chairs, offer our restful times, and get up and go and tell the good news. Without excuse when we stand before the Lord. So Jesus told his disciples to go. Aren't you glad they went? We wouldn't have the gospel today. But let me give you the first example of going. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's the second point. Where? Into all the world. And in our lessons as we go, we'll find out where this world is, what world we're talking about, you know. Because how many have been called to go to China? You probably like me saying, thank you, Lord. For some reason, I feel like God kept me here in Maryville. So here I am. So our world, I'm going to go ahead and put this in. Our world begins right here where you are. And it literally begins in your home. Beginning at home, which is your immediate world. And then you expand it. So the method is go. Now, I'm going to give you an example. The first one that set that example for us. Jesus illustrates it, the Son of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the way that happened was in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh. So Jesus, the Son of God, left his glory in the heavens and stepped down through the virgin womb's Mary to come to us. He sets the example. He didn't sit there by the Father in heaven and the triune God say, okay, if y'all want to be saved, come here, come here, come here. Because God gave the law and it was weak in the flesh and it couldn't save anybody. And the plan was all along that the Son of God would come to the earth as a man and be the reconciler, be the one that would give his life to save the soul of man, to redeem us. So Jesus sets the example. If we follow his example when we are born again, then we will go into the world and witness unto him. Because Jesus, the man, when he was born, he came and he witnessed of the Father. Right? He demonstrated the plan by going. He knew that he was going to tell his disciples, if this message is going to get out, you've got to tell them. And then all through his ministry, he demonstrated that method, did he not? Where do you find Jesus at? Through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I find him down by the Sea of Galilee. I find him out in the mountains. I find him in the marketplace. I find him in the synagogue. Oh, why would he go there? That's a bunch of Pharisees and Sadducees. They needed to hear the salvation message also. But it was commanded on the Sabbath day to assemble. And he did. You see, we have to remember Jesus fulfilled every bit of the law. Every dotted I and every cross T. He fulfilled it. He left nothing undone. But see, he sets example. When he said to go, he'd already demonstrated it. When he raised that widow's son that was coming out of the city of Nain, he was going. You think that was happen chance that he just happened to walk by when they were coming out with that casket? what we would call a casket today? No. He had a purpose. When he went with a purpose, and it was to deliver the message and to demonstrate love. Praise God. So, let me give you a scripture, if I can find it right quick. John 4. I want you to think about this. John 4, 1. In the fourth verse, it says that when he departed, when he left, was leaving Jerusalem, said he said he must needs go through Samaria. He must needs go through Samaria. Now we all know this story. He goes down to Samaria, a city called Sychar. And there's a reason for it. Have you ever went somewhere and when you got there, you knew the Lord had directed you there? You met someone that needed to hear the truth? Well, this is what Jesus is demonstrating. He said he must needs go down by way of Samaria. And he sat there on the well. And the woman came to draw water. Her life changed that day. Why? Because Jesus went down to Samaria. Because he was concerned about souls. And he went everywhere he was directed to go. Do we have to have somebody come down and say, now you really need to go here? You know. There's not a day that goes by you have not come across somebody that needed to hear a word of Christ, a word of love through Christ. They're there. It may even be a saint that needs to hear it. That's witnessing. Amen. So Jesus demonstrated the method. What about the disciples? Did they demonstrate it? They went to the world. They didn't go to the, well, they didn't have churches back in those days, or they didn't go to the houses that they met in and sit there and say, well, if y'all want to hear this good news, come on. But they took it to them. You say, well, they didn't have all we have today. God did not choose machinery to do his work. Televangelism is not God's plan. Radio is not God's plan. Yeah, it's a tool, but it's not God's plan. His plan is for you and I to tell it, not to wait on the televangelist to tell it, or the radio preacher or the radio teacher, because that's impersonal. They don't know them. But you know these people around you, do you not? Every one of you know, I don't know, I wouldn't even guess how many you knew. Most of you have been living here all your life. So you are responsible to go, and that's God's method. I think we understand that. Anybody disagree with that, God's method? Jesus demonstrated it. You can't talk against it at that point. Boy, they put that up and down one again. Anyway. Okay. Next one. The church's message. See, method and message. Not but one message. There's not but one way to salvation. Jesus Christ. He said it in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And all through Scripture, and we've heard quite a bit about that recently and penetrating the heart with the gospel. And the gospel does not only redeem us, but it grows us in maturity to go out and do this witness that I'm talking about. The gospel is the full plan of God. Can I tell you the message has not changed? It has not changed. It's the same today as it was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. I know, and you know, that we've had all kind of divisions over it. Well, this one don't believe that you have to come through Christ. There's many ways to God. There's many ways to the Father. There's many, many, many. No, there's not but one way. There's not but one Savior. The apostle said it this way in Acts. Said there's, Peter said, there's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Period. And that message is not changed till March the 8th, 2020. It's still the same. Now, when you take this message out there, you don't have to quote Scripture to get the message across. And I've heard people tell me, well, I can't quote Scripture. What's that got to do with it? Do you know Jesus? And we're going to show you in the latter part of it how to witness very simply. It's not hard. Well, what if somebody gets mad at me? So what? Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. If they heard me, they'll hear you. Quit worrying about all these things. Just do what you're supposed to do. And you'll see something happen that you just sit back and say, why didn't I do this earlier? Amen. How many want to see this house full? Now you can raise your hand. Everybody that's got don't have arthritis so bad you can't raise your hand, raise it. Oh, goodness. So the message. And we know that message. And the message and the scripture testifies or is a testimony. We are to set forth the testimony of Scripture to Christ. That's how Paul proved that Jesus was the Christ. Now let me help us a little bit. Paul, when he proved that Jesus was the Christ, used the Old Testament scripture. He didn't have the New Testament. For he's one of the writers of the New Testament. Beginning in Romans and then 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians. Paul is writing to the church. So the scriptures they used was the Old Testament scriptures. By the way, most of you probably remember, we went through that last year about the Old Testament scriptures pointing to salvation. And Jesus said in Luke 24, he fulfilled all of that. So now we have the Old Testament and we've got the New Testament put together that we can give testimony through scripture that Jesus is the Christ. And there's no other. Only salvation. There's no other. I believe that with all my heart, soul, mind, and body. And somebody said, if you don't recant, they'll cut your head off. They just have to cut your head off. I'm not recanting. I'm not backing up now. How about you? No compromise. You can't change this word. Or you can take and misplace words and do what you want, but it doesn't change what God said. His word will never pass away. So the message is still Christ crucified and raised from the dead. Ascended into the heavens, sitting at the right hand of the Father, ever to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him. He's our mediator. He's everything we need. He did it once for all. His salvation is not just for a few of us in the church, but it's for all who believe. And that's the message. That His blood was propitiation, not for our sins only, as John said in 1 John the 2nd chapter, but for the sin of the whole world. They just don't know it yet. They haven't heard it yet. They've heard a lot of lies of the devil, whether it was in Islam or Hinduism or whether it's Shinto or whatever these different things are that calls on all different gods. And like Hindus, they have 3 million different gods. There's one God, creator of heaven and earth and seeing all that in them is. One God, eternal. And He alone brought salvation because He loved you. So the message has not changed. And we are to bear witness to His suffering, death and resurrection by word and by deed, by living that life. See, when Christ is truly preached in power, what happens? Let me give you one example. Day of Pentecost. That denying fellow called Peter. Scared to death. Denied our Lord. After he was endued with power, he stood forth on outside. And there again, there goes that go. They went outside the upper room. And he stood up and preached Christ crucified and raised from the dead. What was the result of that? How many were saved? 3,000 that day. That blows my mind how many people were gathered there to get 3,000 saved. It's hard to get that many people to come together just to see what's going on. When Peter and John went to the temple, and the man was healed at the gate called Beautiful, and he went in leaping and praising God because they gave him something that he needed that wasn't silver and gold. But Peter said, "Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk." And he just jumped up and started walking when Peter reached down his hand. Faith exercised, word and deed. And so when Peter stood and preached to that crowd, what did he preach? Christ crucified, raised from the dead, Savior of the world, 5,000 saved. Praise God. You say, "Oh, but we live in a different day." What's different about it? The same sin that was in the day of Christ is today. The same sins that was in the day of the apostles today. Always has been. Jesus is the same Jesus as he was on the day of Pentecost. The same Jesus when they went into that temple and 5,000 were saved. The same Jesus that Luke recorded that, and they were added daily to the church, such as should be saved, because they were going out and preaching the gospel, the message, the good news. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Excited. Oh, but they had it easy. No, they didn't. They lost their head. Martyr is one of the words for witness. Who was the first martyr in the New Testament? Stephen. Stephen was the first martyr. He wasn't a preacher. Wasn't an apostle. He wasn't even a deacon. Ah, you mean he was just part of the church. It doesn't say he had any leadership place, but he was a witness unto Christ. A witness unto Christ. There's a heavy responsibility for the church. Okay, I'm supposed to be through about right now. It's over. I'm not going to get into motivation. Motivation is very important. What motivates us? We'll talk about that next week and I'll get through it. I hope you hear. I want to read you something. There's a pencil down there. Now, this doesn't just apply to this class. This applies to listening and studying the Word of God, okay? Truth received and not responded to means spiritual decline and loss of capacity. You have to apply the truth to your life. And what my purpose is to motivate us to witness for Christ, just to get excited about Him and follow His plan. And we're going to make it easy. When we get to the actual how we do it, it's not going to be what most people think, because we've tried all kinds of programs and people get discouraged. They'll go knock on doors and nothing happens. They get discouraged. I'm going to give you God's plan that will keep you encouraged. Okay? And make it simple. You know, I'm simple. I believe Jesus made it simple. A child can understand it. Stand with me. Thank you for being patient with me. I know it's the first time I've been here teaching, and I do not stand still. You'll have to put up with that. I move. I like to. Some of you are probably wondering why I walk over this way and walk over that way, because I want to see what you're thinking. I'm watching. You're watching me, but I'm watching you, because I want us all to grow in this grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.